That's a banger.
That was great.
Okay. Whew. Man, appreciate that. Trail, T-R-E-H-L.com, 800-319-7006. I love Trail. Love everything they do. Love this company. I love being branded this company. Sometimes ask me where you get to talk about companies, and you also get a little bump yourself because you're branded with them. And I always told Will Huston's guys, like, this is a win-win for me because I get to talk about Trail, but, like, people kind of associate me with Trail sometimes. And I know the Trail doesn't really like that all the time, but, like, so I go into to restaurants or I go into grocery stores, and every once in a while I get stopped and say, hey, Mickey, I hear you talk about Trail. Let me tell you what happened to our church. Hey, Mickey, let me tell you about Trail. Let me tell you what happened to our school building. Let me tell you about what they did for our business. And so I get that, man. I like that when sometimes, like, publicly, that's what they think of. That's a win-win for me. Hey, the Better Building Experience works. Why does it work? How does it work? Get in touch with them. It's Trail, T-R-E-H-E-L.com, 800-319-7006. All right. Sinner and Djokovic today, semifinals, men's semifinals. Coco got beat yesterday. Atlanta.
I'm so sad about it, too.
Really? You're a Coco fan?
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Braves double up Pirates 10-5. Clemson gets Ben Ayers. I'll save that for, let's see what time it is. Let's do 8:05 Ben Ayers. I got some quotes for some friends that have been on committees with him and know him and been in meetings with him and all that. So we'll get you that. France beats Morocco 2-0. World Cup, rest of the World Cup today. You have Spain and Belgium. I'm not that interested in that. Inglewood, California. I am interested tomorrow in Norway and England at 5 o'clock.
Same.
And then Argentina, Switzerland, just because of Messi. Yeah. Think about that for a second. So you've got Messi still in this thing. Holland and Kane still in this thing. Mbappe still in this thing. Like, it's pretty doggone good as far as that golden boot stuff goes. All right. With that said, and then Watson Young, Clemson reserve offensive lineman, stepping away from the game. Injuries, it was a tough, tough deal for sure. All right. Let me set this up. Josh Williams, 725. ReedyLanco.com, Hunting Fish Report, 745. So let me set this up. I told Ashby, in case you missed segment number one here, after my golf rounds, I go over the bogeys and I assign blame. What happened on that hole? Was it the driver? Was it the tee ball? Was it the long iron, the iron? What happened? Why'd I make bogey? All right. And I said I wanted to do this with Clemson football. So, unfortunately, it's going to be a long segment. It might have to do it too because Clemson had 6 losses last year.
Yeah, we can do this for the rest of the show.
And there's a couple of them there that I'm going to have some PTSD on. Syracuse, SMU, and Duke, I'm like, man, just some and even Penn State. PTSD, man. All right, LSU to me was fairly simple here. Defense played well enough to win the football game. Mm-hmm. Defense held LSU to 10, and we didn't know LSU's offense would later stink, but held LSU to 356 total offense. They held LSU to 108 on the ground. That was one of my things going into it is, you know, we thought that Nussmeier and this awesome passing attack is going to be great. And I go over this all the time and tell you that if you got a great passing attack, the number one thing you got to do is shut down the run. Because if we get balanced and you can't shut down the run, then you're in trouble. 248 through the air. But they did a really good job. They created turnovers. The defense was good enough. LSU had 2 turnovers. Red zone defense was good enough. And again, you hold somebody to 17. I said 10. 17, 17, 10. You hold somebody to 17, you ought to win the football game. You hold a top 10 team to 17, you ought to win the football game. Clemson, 2 things happen offensively. One is the lack of explosiveness. T.J. Moore caught a 26-yard pass. Westco caught a 21-yard pass. Bettenker caught a 20-yard pass. The longest run any Tiger made was 7 yards. They got very little out of the run game, 20 carries for 31 yards. Klubnik did not make a ton of things happen. It's all ghost, jittery. LSU's scheme was good, but no touchdowns and 1 pick in this one. And it an abandoned running game. Clemson ran the ball 20 times the entire game. It's not like LSU ran the ball right at you and shoved it down your throat. 31 carries, 108 yards, 3.5 yards per carry. Clemson 20 carries, 31 yards, 1.6 yards per carry.
Nobody ran the ball even once in the fourth quarter for Clemson. Not one carry in the fourth quarter. From Randall, from Klubnik, nobody. It was just incomplete passes. And some completions. But they didn't even try. And Randall and Klubnik had just started to kind of get some rhythm at the end of the first half. And then, nope.
Yep.
That, to me, sealed it.
The tailbacks had 8 carries in the game. Running backs. All running backs had 8 carries in the game. Izumuma had 3 carries for 5 yards, and Randall had 5 carries for 16 yards. Pretty simple.
Yep.
Pretty easy to sign the blame. No run game. They didn't commit to the run game. Well, they didn't run it well when they ran it, but no commitment to run game. Garrett Riley. Fair?
Fair.
Okay. Oh, man, this one hurts. I played golf yesterday with a Georgia Tech fan.
Woo!
And he's a good friend. And one of the things I said about the game, because I watched this game again the other day. One of the things I said about this game was that neither team played very well. It was not a clean game. Clemson turned it over twice. Georgia Tech at least didn't turn it over. But neither team really got it. But both teams gave up some bad deals. Third down, Georgia Tech was 8 of 15. I think I can assign multiple blame here. Defensively, you gave up 24. Defensively, you gave up 147 on the ground. I can live with that against Georgia Tech. 211 through the air. You didn't create any turnovers defensively. You gave up crucial third down conversions. But I still feel like you hold Tech to 24, and if you got Klubnik and Wesco and Moore, you got to do better here. Wesco had 7 for 126 in the touchdown. T.J. Moore, 2 for 16. Kate Klubnik, 15 of 26, 207, one touchdown, one pick.
And a fumble.
And an awful, awful fumble.
There's a bad drop towards the end, but bottom line, turned the ball over twice and missed a field goal earlier. Is it heartbreaking when you get beat on a last-second field goal? Yes. They had opportunities, man.
So, multifaceted here. I'm still putting this on the offense.
Me too.
Cade, you putting it on Cade? They ran the ball more. 35 carries, 174 yards. That's not a Garrett Riley deal.
Yeah. You can't have 2 turnovers and not take some of that blame, for sure. Finished with 200 passing yards.
How long was the missed field goal? Got to find this one on here. The other thing there is that you just – this is one of those you couldn't get off the field. 10-play drive to end the game, mm-hmm. Last 3 minutes of the game. Couldn't get off the field.
You just knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Knew it.
Yeah.
That was an issue last season, too.
The missed field goal was from was a 52-yarder. Can't hold you accountable for a 52-yard missed field goal.
Nah.
Kid Klubnik. Fair, not fair. Anybody else you want to assign blame to? Drops in there?
I mean, I think you got to give a little of it to.
You're not blaming Garrett Riley for this one, are you?
No.
Okay.
I think drops are part of it. I think Haynes King and Georgia Tech knowing that Clemson was vulnerable is part of it.
This one. Oh. I did this on the show before. When I was a kid, we had mercurochrome and methylate. Whenever you would get hurt, you'd fall on your bicycle and you skin your elbow up or skin your knee up, and your mom would come take this wand and you stick it in this battery acid called mercurochrome or methylate. Methylate is worse. And then you put it on there and every time they put it on there, it would be like,
oh.
When I think about Syracuse and Clemson, I think, it was the most miserable time I've ever been in Death Valley, ever. Ever.
Same.
When I go to bed, it's the only time I've ever not had any positive experience. When I think about this game, I still – when I go to bed tonight, I'll look underneath my bed to make sure that 2025 Syracuse football's not underneath there.
And it was the only time that team appeared all season, mind you.
They were terrible.
They literally did not win again.
Until he got hurt. But I mean, Clemson could have shot Ricky Collins. This is all defense in this one. I mean, the offense in this game put up 503 yards. Not enough points now, only 21 points. Turn it over again. Two turnovers, a fumble and a pick. Ran it enough, threw it enough. That threw it 61 times, by the way. But this was on the defense. You give up 34 points. Let me not just the defense. Let me blame the staff on this one. Fran Brown came out on the onside kick deal, and they outplayed Clemson. It was 10-0 before Clemson touched the football. And it was 10-7. But then it was 17-7. So Syracuse went 7 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. Onside kick, field goal. 9 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 8 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. The first four times they touched, it's 24-7. Defense can't stop anything. And Jelly is carving you up. And the secondary was awful.
Really bad.
I'm going staff and DB. Texas says, by the way, you have more confidence in second year Tom Allen? Yeah, because he doesn't have just duds back there at safety that just can't cover anything. And I told you, I talked to got this from a head coach in college football that said, man, Tom Allen's a great football coach. Man, he had to be so, and he had inside information, he had to be so basic because, man, they couldn't do anything to secondary.
Handcuffed.
Yeah. So are you good with this staff and DB? Anything else?
I think just
that loss was terrible. And rain delays and all that. Man, that was just a miserable time.
To a degree, give some of it to the prior losses because it was so lethargic.
Oh, but that's a staff. The staff should have set a better tone for that team and come out. And it's your job to get the team ready to play.
Then that was my issue.
Okay.
Because I've never seen it. The Louisville game was similar the year before, where they just came out flat.
Yeah.
But this was the least energy I've ever seen in a Clemson football game. Especially when it was
bad.
7-0 or 10-0 before they even got the ball. Oh my God.
I tell you what's really bad is that we're at a break. We're only halfway through the losses.
7-6, baby. Come on.
Have we done this back in 16, 17, and 18, we had three losses in 3 years.
Yeah, we'd be talking about
halfway through one. Anyway, take a break. We'll do this more at 8:05. No run game and Garrett Riley's play calling against LSU. Cade Klubnik and against Georgia Tech. And then staff and DBs in Syracuse. Fairly simple stuff, right? And fairly clear. I mean, fairly clear. Georgia Tech is a little muddy in there. There's a lot of people, third down conversions, but you score 21. I mean, you hold Tech to 24, or whatever. Like, you need to win the football game. Sorry.
That should have been one. All of these should have been one.
Clemson was a 17-point favorite to Syracuse, and at the. Bear with me here. Oh, I got the wrong game up. 21-point favorite to Syracuse. And with here we go. With 9 minutes to go in the second quarter, it's 24-7.
Miggy, that team gave up 24 points, allowed Colgate 24 points.
Yeah. That was bad.
Oh, I can't even.
That was bad.
Getting heated.
I feel sick in my stomach again. Like Noro's coming on again.
Somebody said, y'all bringing my Friday morning down. Yeah, sorry.
I know. I'm sorry.
We'll build you back up. Stick with us.
I'm sorry. All right. We come back. Well, it ain't going to be any better. I want to talk Braves baseball. Josh Williams is a Braves fan. So what's give me some Braves stuff, and what's it going to feel like if we do get healthy? Short break. We'll come back much more to this.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, gold glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch Willie Mays style and goes into the wall.
For every pitch from March to October, we are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball. Right here on The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority, 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hey, my friends at Ingles, I'll go there today, and because I'm batching it this weekend, I'll do the easy stuff for me. I don't want to cook a whole lot by myself, and so the bottom line is I'll go get some chicken salad from the deli. I'll go get me maybe a little egg salad. I might go and get me a little boar's head roast beef and boar's head cheese. And then I'll head over and get my crab cakes because I'll make some crab cake sandwiches and this thing. It makes it so easy. I told you the rotisserie chicken, that's a great thing to do. Or a little salad bar, a little olive bar, a little caprese salad bar. I might do a little caprese this weekend. Who knows? I might get crazy. We're going to do it at Ingles. And I'm down to about a third of a carton left of Bluebell ice cream, so I know I'll do that. I love Ingles. I love how easy it is. I know where everything is in the store. These people are friendly. They're nice. They've got it going with the great prices and the great selection. And do the curbside pickup if you're really looking to save money. So great friends over at Ingles. Low prices, love the savings, love our friends at Ingles.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone.
The Roar.
Because now you got to sing, me and Dale were singing a little Runaway.
Come on.
Love it. Love it. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Let's get to our guest lines where Josh Williams, I'm going to bring up another bad subject in this whole situation. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Awesome. I'm going to talk some college football with you here in a second, but because I mentioned to you yesterday some thoughts and some theories and get your gut feeling on some things. But I do want to talk about Braves a little bit. Braves in a pretty tough skid after an unbelievable start. And I guess my first question, and I know injuries have a lot to do with it, my first question would be, what's the outlier here? The really hot start, or the first 25, or the last 20?
Yeah, I mean, as with anything, it's probably somewhere kind of in the middle. But a lot of that first, you know, whatever 40, 50 games, whatever it was, you know, a lot of the kind of mid to role players performed, you know, really well, maybe even a bit over their head, and now they've kind of come back down to earth. Particularly with the pitching. I mean, guys, you know, Elder was, you know, had a sub-2 ERA, whatever, his first 11 starts, and it's been pretty dreadful, you know, since. Holmes has been obviously up and down at times. He's better suited to the bullpen, but he's a healthy arm. He's kind of got to stay in the rotation for a little bit now. Obviously, Martin Perez was pretty serviceable in the rotation, but he's out on the IL now. He's kind of thrown Hurston Waldrop in there. These past few starts has been, you know, not very good after coming off injury. But, you know, they kind of run out of options at this point. Offense obviously struggled a lot while both Acuna and Baldwin were out. Baldwin back has struggled quite a bit since he got back. But, yeah, I think you're looking at a deadline where they've probably got to get a minimum of 2 start pitchers.
That was one of my next questions is,
Obviously
the offense revolves around Acuna. I get it. And Baldwin's was off to the really, really hot start and not what he has been since, and I get that. But with that said, what's the call to action here? What's the plan to action here? As they do get healthy, and they're still right in the middle of it, obviously, with a lead in the division. It feels like you're talking about it, but they built that lead up so much. But moving forward here, other than getting healthy, trading deadline, strategies, what do you think will happen, what needs to happen, and what's the long-term future look like?
Yeah, I think they got to get a minimum of 2 starting pitchers. Honestly, it wouldn't even hurt if you get another one kind of for the back end of the bullpen too. But obviously, back end bullpen's actually been great with Lee Suarez and Iglesias. Lee Suarez is on the shelf. He's out for, you know, another few weeks. It's probably, you know, end of July, kind of best case for him, it kind of sounds like. I think starting pitching, you got to get at least two, just because you – I mean, and it's happened the last several years. They've cycled through so many, and you have injuries here and there, and just I think they've kind of exhausted all their bullets there. They need to, and I obviously I wouldn't even oppose to be getting maybe another right-handed outfield bat that can platoon a little bit too.
All right. Are the Braves equipped to make those moves? Either, the main thing is like, what's given up? What at what risk in the future? How well stocked are they? And what would you think? Parting guys either on the current roster or maybe some prospects.
Yeah, I think they're much more equipped, particularly in the prospect part, than they were say 2 years ago. They've kind of restocked a pretty good bit, and some guys have really developed these last couple of years. So I think they're better equipped in that respect to be able to try and make some moves. Another one is some guys struggling. Austin Riley's been quite dreadful. I mean, he's just fairly north of the Mendoza line and been pretty dreadful most of the year, and I just can't seem to snap out of it either.
Yeah, the 207 bothers you, but what bothers you is you did it with 9 home runs. Like, if he had 18 home runs at 207, you might be able to live with it a little bit. But the lack of power, RBIs have been okay a little bit, but better than average, better than home runs. But you'd expect him to have certainly Dubon wouldn't have as many home runs as he would have. So, anyway, I'm not saying to Olson, but a little bit closer to all of that. And then I think the Murphy thing – I guess I can say it. Baldwin has done great behind the plate. And I know the other catcher had a big hit. The Bart kid had a big hit the other day. With that being said, though, I still think that Murphy, could he come back this year? Is he coming back? What's his – I know he had cast on his fingers, middle fingers, cast issues, whatever. But is he – can he play a role coming down the stretch? Can you count on him again?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty quiet on him for a while. The original thought was he'd be back latter half of July, sometime after the All-Star break. That's another one that, unfortunately, that trade for Murphy was just a swing and a miss at this point.
Yeah, at this point.
I don't really know what you do. I think, Bart wasn't great at his previous stop, but I think he's been probably more than serviceable since he's gotten to Atlanta. I wouldn't be opposed to trying to offload Murphy in a deal. But I think, I think it's kind of unlikely because you probably need him to get back and show a little something coming off the injury list. But, I'm interested to see what they do when he does.
All right.
He does and is able to come back.
All right. Post-All-Star break, what do you foresee happening? This Philadelphia's played much better since their firing of their manager. This thing's closing down. Obviously, they got two teams headed in kind of opposite directions. Can the Braves turn it back around? What's your gut tell you what we're going to see in the second half?
Yeah, I think they can definitely turn it around. But it's going to be a knockdown drag out to the finish between those. And heck, even the Marlins are, I think, 3.5-4 games out too. They're right in the mix. Obviously, Washington's been a lot better. I mean, the division top to bottom, other than the Mets, has been quite good. I think, obviously, the Phillies will be looking to add at the deadline. I think they may be even looking more offensive-wise. And starting pitching has not been a great worry for them. They've been obviously very good since Wheeler came back. But they may be looking for a bat there because they don't quite have the depth of their lineup top to bottom is what they've kind of had in recent years.
All right. I want to switch gears with you quickly. Ashby and I were talking about Florida State and Alabama yesterday. I mentioned this to you just in a text last night about it, and I don't want to get totally into college football with you as of yet, but with that said, I got on Alabama. I got on them pretty bad here, and a couple things. And by the way, I'm a Kalen DeBoer fan, but Alabama in 2 years, let's see if I'm right by saying this. It's 20-8 in 2 years. So it hadn't been terrible, but last year, just bad losses. A 14-point loss at Florida State, got a 21-point loss to Georgia, and a 35-point loss to Indiana. I mean, losing's one thing. Bama's not used to losing. Bama's not used to getting blown out. Bama's also not used to rushing for 104 yards per game. And it just feels like that this offense, it's going to be interesting to see whether it's going to be Russell or Mack or how it works out there. But I was telling you last night, Phil Steele Magazine, offensive ratings right now. Let me just lead into this, and I'm going to get my question. Offensive ratings right now, at quarterback, he doesn't have Alabama. I think I'm right. What's that? Oh, he got Alabama 38th in the country. Running back 41st in the country. Now, wide receivers, he feels decent about them, and they're 10th in the country. Offensive line 61st in the country. Is this can they turn it around? Is Kalen DeBoer? I know he signed a contract extension. And Bama's different. I just think that he's such an outsider. They don't like him. I know they signed him to extension through it all, but man, this doesn't feel like Alabama right now, and it feels very weird to me to see them 36th in recruiting right now. It just doesn't feel like what I was used to seeing for the last 20 years.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's one thing with the losses, but it's another that how many double-digit, seemingly non-competitive losses there have been. I mean, it wasn't a year and a half ago, 2 years ago with the viral clip of the lady saying she'd use the Powerball jackpot to buy out the board. It's different. And, you know, with the running game, you know, last year was what, a little over 100 yards per game?
104 yards a game. Yeah, 104.
Is it strictly a personnel thing, or is it a philosophy thing? If you think back, even, what was it, 2023, Washington went to the national championship game and lost. They were outside the top 100 rushing yards per game. Is it more of a philosophy thing with him? Or, I mean, obviously, his first team at Bama, you know, was up, you know, I think in the top 50. But I think a lot of that was aided by, you know, the mobile quarterback, Milrow. It's like he hasn't found the right balance between, you know, do I want to go dual threat mobile quarterback, or am I just better suited for, you know, the strictly kind of pocket passer like he had, obviously, with Penix and Simpson last year. It just hasn't failed to find kind of a blend of the two where he can have a really balanced offense.
I agree with you. I think it is a scheme thing because they had, you know, it was a good offensive line last year. It wasn't great. It was a good offensive line. And then with Milrow, it was different. I give you that. But that should have made it easier on a run game, not harder on a run game. And I'm going to leave you this about Bama. How concerned would you be from, because he's an offensive genius apparently, and I've always believed that, but 3 points, he scored 17 points at Tennessee last year. He scored 2 years ago, scored 3 points against Oklahoma 2 years ago. He scored 13 points against Michigan. He scored 7 points against Georgia last year and 3 points against Indiana last year. How concerned are you about adjustments in a game? And if it doesn't work, I mean, there are times like the Georgia game last year, like, oh my gosh, man, I can't believe that this game plan is amazing. But when the game plan doesn't work, there doesn't seem to be very good plan Bs. Is that a fair criticism?
Yeah, sure. And honestly, you kind of wonder how much is it him versus, you know, Ryan Grubb, too. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he was kind of the, almost the savior, but I mean, he's the one that was, their success has been obviously much greater when, you know, when Grubb is involved versus not. There's quite a few games where they kind of get off the hot starts, and obviously the scripted portion of the offense has been awesome. And obviously, I mean, Georgia makes in game adjustments, particularly on defense, better than anybody. But when they made that adjustment and kind of hold them down, then they're just holding on for dear life. And, you know, not able to do a whole lot after that, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, four losses. I think there's four losses on the schedule this year, too. And three straight years of four losses at Alabama, I don't know, man. I don't know. All right.
Time bomb callers will be must-see TV.
Woo! And he's an outsider anyway, you know, Paul. Anyway, let's talk British Open from Southport, England, when we visit next week.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, J-Dub. Appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend for sure. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get our ReedyLandCo.com hunting and fishing report. In hour three, we got three more Clemson losses to go over and assign blame to. And I have quotes about Clemson's new president from folks that have worked with him in the past. Got a lot to do. Ashby Bix and Mickey Plata, much more right after this.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Plyler Show to the end of Road Rage, we're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar app today.
Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Check them out online, BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Let me tell you about the genesis of the company. Chris and Ben are engineers, right? And they went and got their MBAs to learn more about the business aspect of this, but they think like engineers. They've got this app that and this device that measures the mold and probability of mold in your home. They think from an engineer mind. They think from an efficiency mindset. And so bottom line is that it's going to you're going to hire this company, and it's going to be with really, really smart people. Doesn't take a lot to say that I want to be the dumbest guy in the room. And so when I hang out with Chris and Ben, that happens very naturally. Love these guys. Love what they do. The Armstrong unit made right here in Orangeburg, South Carolina, is one of the great units. The Arctic Flex, one of the great units as well. Ask about that. Ask about the preventive maintenance program. Ask about their Tiger Tune-Up special. Ask about coming and checking the duct work and how all that works. It's BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
From the locker room to your living room.
A lot of guys don't play good.
Sports talk is on the Roar.
Hi, I'm Christopher Pratt. After a catastrophic injury, the loss of someone you love, everything changes. And while your family's trying to put the pieces back together, insurance companies and big corporations are already building their defense. These cases are serious, and they require serious lawyers. At Pratt Injury Lawyers, we focus on catastrophic injury and wrongful death cases. We have the resources, the talent, and the courtroom experience to fight for families during the hardest moments of their lives. Visit 864law.com for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Level up at the Southeast Game Exchange, July 17th through 19th at the Greenville Convention Center. Celebrate 10 years of one of the biggest gaming expos in the Southeast with over 300 vendor spaces, voice actors from your favorite games, retro and modern esports tournaments, arcades, live wrestling, and a live concert. Parking is free, and kids 5 and under get in free. Tickets are on sale now at southeastgameexchange.com for South Carolina's ultimate gaming experience. See you there.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we offer crawl space insulation and encapsulations, protecting your home from the outdoor elements as well as dust, mold, and allergens. The biggest pain point here in South Carolina is humidity, and with it comes mold. Your health is in jeopardy. We seal your crawl space and control humidity with an April Air dehumidifier, preventing the gross crawl space air to travel through your floors and into your home, making your HVAC work overtime. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville today at 864-867-1779 to learn more.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit TigerMovingGreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union just announced a new lower car loan interest rate, as low as 3.95% APR with no payments for up to 90 days. Visit one of their 19 statewide locations or their website, scscu.com, to take advantage of car loan rates as low as 3.95% APR today. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Built tough for the demands of the season, Skag Power Equipment is ready to perform. At Landscaper Supply, they carry Skag zero-turn mowers trusted by landscaping professionals for durability, power, and precision cutting. Whether you're maintaining residential lawns or commercial properties, Skag delivers the performance you need day after day. Stop by one of the 8 South Carolina or Georgia locations and see the difference for yourself. Skag, simply the best.
When you're stuck on the side of the road, you don't have time to wait. That's where Skinner Tire comes in. With top tire brands in stock, with fast, reliable service, they'll get you rolling again in no time. And if you can't make it to them, no problem. Their roadside trucks are ready to come to you. Flat tire? Blowout? New set needed? Call the folks Upstate Drivers Trust. Skinner Tire, 864-599-0026 for the best prices today.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and Upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
The strongest connections are made right here at home. Since 2020, Upcountry Fiber has been a neighbor you can count on. With the fastest, most reliable internet in the upstate and a local team ready to assist when you need us. Switch today for smoother streaming, seamless remote work, and as a thank you for joining us.
Our great friends at Double Dog Video, your company, some of you out there don't use video on your company websites. Mainly because your expertise level is not in that and you don't want to showcase it. You're leaving a lot out there. Your company has a story to tell. Let Double Dog tell it for you. Oh, well, we don't know anything about that. Double Dog does. They can write the copy for you. They can do all the videography for you. They can do all the editing for you. And they put it out there. And at the end, if you're not satisfied, they give you your money back. So the amazing part of that is of the hundreds of companies I've ever worked with, no one's ever asked for their money back. So the Double Dog Dare is holding up. They're still batting 1,000%. We love it. It's our great friends at Double Dog Video. And I'll tell you this. At Double Dog Video, you're getting an unbelievable price too. And so don't let price be an issue. So oftentimes you think, well, we can't afford that. Just inquire, because remember I said the other day about how I'm not going to stop myself from running the football.
Yes.
You got to stop me. Don't stop your video yourself. All right. Let's find out and see if maybe the pricing works out a little better than you think. DoubleDogVideo.com. This segment brought to you by our great friends at ReedyLandCo.com. We're going to talk some boating safety with Jonathan. Hey, good morning, Jonathan. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm doing well. How about you?
Blessed. Absolutely blessed. We're going to talk boating safety because it's too hot to do anything else but boat. And boating is a great way to cool down. And by the way, Ashby's going to do some boating this weekend. So for Ashby and her family, let's talk to her today. What do we need to know? Where are we with boating safety? And obviously a very important subject when it comes to outdoor life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So first and foremost is to get out your little safety checklist before you even get in the water. You want to make sure that you have a life jacket that properly fits everybody on board. Make sure that you have a sound device like a whistle or a horn on the boat. Got to make sure you have a working fire extinguisher. Even though you have a fire extinguisher, you want to make sure it is not expired. So you want to make sure if you need to use it, it is going to work well. If you plan on being on the water after dark, you want to make sure that your navigation lights are still working. Obviously, double check your registration. Just like having a vehicle on the road, you've got a registration and your registration stickers on the side of the boat, making sure all that's up to date. And last but certainly not least, you want to make sure that you put your plug in the boat so that you don't go for a swim quicker than you had originally anticipated.
All right. I know all those things are important. To me, another one is boat ramp safety. I think I need to start just a whole YouTube channel. I'm sure there is one of just boat ramp blunders. What do we need to know about actually getting that boat in the water and how to go about that, the experience of that, the etiquette of that at boat ramps? Because that, to me, is a pretty big disastrous area as well.
Absolutely, Mickey. Absolutely. So there's a lot of a lot of unwritten guidelines or rules, maybe, of the boat ramp and boating on the water and stuff like that. But first and foremost, when it comes to boat ramps, there's a lot of folks that that don't have maybe quite as much experience as the next guy, and so patience and is your number one friend. You got to understand, some folks are getting out on the water for the first time, you know, all year, and some folks go out every weekend, and everyone's at different skill levels. So just being patient is first and foremost. Secondly, right behind that is when you're prepping your boat, you're double checking your life jackets, all that good stuff. Don't do that on the ramp, and certainly don't do that as you're water, all that stuff. You're just going to clog up the line. And so just do that before you get to the ramp. And keep everybody from getting irritated at each other. And if you did need to go and grab something else, you're already out of the way, and you can go do that. Once you've got your boat off the trailer and you're docking, little word for the wise is idle speed is your friend, right? It's a slow crash. If you have to bump into something, is way better than a fast one. So always just try to keep it at idle speed. And once again, being patient with it. And, you know, when it comes to actually backing up the trailer itself, and maybe you're one of those that doesn't get on the water very often, maybe do a little practice of backing your trailer in your yard, in an open parking lot. Maybe if the boat ramp's not too busy that day, then you can do it in the boat ramp parking lot. Some simple stuff like that, that'll make it once, you know, once it's showtime per se, then everybody's calm and cool-headed and can have a fun day out on the water.
All right. Is there a place to go, I mean, resources-wise, buoys, the information the buoys tell you, the warning signs, the what do we need to know about some of those information buoys out there for everybody's safety?
Yep, absolutely. So SCDNR has their own free boater safety course. I highly, highly recommend everyone who thinks about owning a boat or maybe isn't quite familiar with all the kind of rules and regulations on the water to at least consider taking that, or at least brush up on some tips and tricks on their website. There's certainly a lot of buoy markers. You know, up here in the upstate, it keeps it a little simple. It gets a little complicated as you get to the coast. But once again, if you see a buoy, odds are there's a reason it's there, whether it's for slowing down if you're approaching a dock, or maybe it's a shoal marker. Maybe there's, you know, it gets a little shallow right there. So just keeping an eye on you know, where you're at if you're not familiar with that body of water that you're on.
All right, final one for you. Just the etiquette of wakes and docks and other boaters and jet skiers. I mean, there seems there's an etiquette out there as well. What would we say to that?
Absolutely. I would say 95, if not almost 100% of anything that happens on the water just boils down to common sense. If it doesn't look right, doesn't sound right, doesn't smell right, it's probably not right. So keeping a good safe distance between other folks, you know, obviously slowing down if you're going underneath the bridge, taking your time at the boat ramp, just staying out of people's way if you think you're going to take a little bit of extra time, just little things like that. You know, it can be really stressful at the boat ramp, but it can be stressful if it's, you know, you're only your first or second time out on the water and it maybe is a busy afternoon. So just taking your time and understanding everybody's got different skill levels, but as long as you understand the basic rules of the water, then and everyone should have a good time and a safe one.
All right. On the website last night, a little later than I normally do it, but I went to RidiLandCo.com and saw some incredible properties. What are you guys doing? And be an awesome, be a really cool present, be an awesome time to do it, awesome time to invest in some really cool properties.
Absolutely. So we help folks buy and sell dirt, and we enjoy it. We love get out on the water when we can, and when we're not in the water, we're walking through the woods with property owners. So if you're looking to sell, thinking about selling, really not sure what the market's doing, maybe you're on the other side of the coin, you're thinking about buying, not sure what the market is doing, we're here to help. This week we've got a 20-acre property, kind of an entry-level recreational track, maybe makes a nice homestead track up near Chesney, 130 Twin Creek Road. It's a mix of open land, some young, and also mature timber. You've got a really nice, big, beautiful creek that goes right down the middle and already has some utilities in place as well. So kind of has has the skeleton for a nice track, and it would be a beautiful piece for a nice entry level individual.
Place to find it, ReedyLandCo.com. Jonathan, always good to hear from you guys, man. Great message. I hope Ashley and her family will be out there safe this weekend like everybody else and enjoying and cooling down on the lake. Have a great one, man. Look forward to visiting you guys next week.
Thank you, Mickey. Take care.
You too, buddy. Y'all's boat's already in the water.
Yes.
Okay, good. Cause you
I'm
don't,
so excited.
Nothing. I grew up around boat ramps. And my dad, I'd have to get the boat out or the car out, and I was too young to be doing either, and how you get it. But more than that, like, at least we were sober, man. And by the end of the day, getting the boat out on the water is one thing. By the end of the day, man, people lathered up a little bit and had a little too much, overserved, and get the truck out and the ramp out and the boat. And that's entertaining, hopefully. Not too dangerous, but entertaining to some of that. I've got several other things to get to in the next segment.
Cannot wait.
I just was doing during the breaks SMU and Duke. And those losses and assigning blame there. In case you missed the first segment, first part of the show, we've assigned blame to the six Clemson losses last year and what that looks like. And to be honest with you, it was a bad football team because they found a bunch of different ways to lose. That's when you know you're a good sports team when in baseball you can win 3-2 and you can win 11-10. You know you're a bad baseball team on the nights that your pitching's good, your defense is bad, nice defense is good, your hitting's bad. Like, there's fine ways to lose games and different ways to lose games. Clemson found different ways to lose games last year. Clemson lost 46-45, and they lost 17-10. And if they were great offense, they'd have won 21-17. If they were great defense, they'd have won 45-40. It just found ways to lose games all year long. It was a bad, bad season. A stinky, rotten, smelly, icky, yucky, mercurochrome kind of methylated kind of season. I'm tired of that one. I'm ready to do the other one.
Get us some Neosporin. Come on.
Yeah, something. Ease my pain. So we'll talk about that. SMU and Duke were two really interesting losses last year. And the thing, you watch the highlights of someone like, man, how can that guy be that wide open? Like, how did he give up that, man? Like, what?
Yeah, we're on the same page, I think, already about those two.
Oh. So we'll get to that. But when we come back, better news. Spoke to a couple people yesterday about Clemson's new president. And it appears that there is a lot of positive things to say. He's got a Southern accent. He grew up around football programs. We're going to love this guy. He's one of us. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll open up phone lines as well. Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line, 654-ROAR. Adams Curve of the text line, 654-ROAR. It's the third and final hour before the weekend. We're going to get you ready for it. Love for you to come back. Hour number three when you return right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Upset you missed a show today?
No problem.
We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Touchdown! And on the Roar app.
Download it today.
For great friends at Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. Let Mark and Amanda and the awesome team take care of you. They'll do an incredible job for you. It's going to get the lowest rates. And then, look, let's just be clear. Rates. That's the most important thing here. Your refinancing, remodeling, we love our great friends over at Prime Lending. Let Mark and his team be one of your three estimates. You'll choose these good folks. Check them out. It's easy to know. PrimeLendingSC.com.
The games may end, but the opinions never stop.
You're totally off base on this.
105.5 and 97.5.